So I'm Jay Houck, and it's pretty funny because Daniel was texting me. He's like, hey, man, how do you pronounce your last name? And it's kind of hard to text, like, how you pronounce your last name, you know, and especially, like, how the stupid phone always corrects it, you know? So I'm like, Houck, like, H-O-U, like, how, and then C-K, and then it kept on changing all these letters. I'm like, forget it, man. However you announce me, just announce me. We'll work it out. So, yeah, so I'm Jay Houck. Excited to be here. I'm just going to read a few verses to you first out of Psalms. I just like to start off this way. It says in Psalm 68, verse 1, it says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God, sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yahweh, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, and God is his holy habitation. I love to think about that. I love to just meditate on Psalms, and each morning I like to do that. And the other day I was meditating on this one. But this weekend is Veterans Weekend, right? So do we have any veterans in here that we can honor? Any veterans? Veteran back there. Thank you. Thank you. So every year, Veterans Weekend means a lot to me. Number one, because I was born on Veterans Day. So tomorrow's my birthday. So that's awesome. But then number two, I love to just honor the ones that defend our country. And so I just want to take a moment. So if you all could just stand with me and let's just put our hands out and let's just pray for the veterans. Let's pray for our nation. God, we just want to come before you this morning, Lord, just thanking you for the veterans, thanking you, Lord, for the ones that are out there serving, the ones who are out there guarding us, Father. When we are sleeping, Lord, they are standing watch. When we're at home, comfortable in our house, Father, they're out there defending us, God. And so we just thank you for them, Father. And so we just want to honor them this morning. We just want to pray for them, pray for their mental healthness, God, pray for their physical wellness, God. Just pray, Father, that whatever that they gave up for us, Lord, that you'd restore a hundredfold. And so we pray for those that are out there serving right now, God, that you would just protect them, Father, that you'd be with their families as they're just missing their husbands or wives or their moms or dads, God, that you would just watch over those families, Father, and just be with them. And so we just thank you again, and we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. So once again, my name is Jay Houck. I have many titles. I'm a husband to my wife, Andrea, who's in the back there. And we got married on this month, on the 23rd, 29 years ago. So we'll be celebrating our 29th anniversary. Yeah, pretty awesome. As you guys can see, November is a great month for me. I get very excited when November comes. I'm like, yes, celebration. Andrea and I, we had a crazy start to our life. And not sure if I would recommend it to anyone, but I could tell you this, that I love being married. I love when I got married, and I've loved every single moment since then. I've been called also, or I am called also, daddy, not so much because my son is now 28 years old. And so he's back there too, Justin. And we call him Bud. And my daughter, Desiree, who is back there with the baby, and she's married to Justin. And so she's now 5 years old to us because they've been married for 5 years. But just something about seeing your prayers answered. My wife and I, we had Justin right off the bat. And if you figured out the math with us coming up on our 29 and him being 28. But after that, we didn't pray necessarily, but we wanted to have more kids. And the Lord just kind of shut the womb. And so that was not able to happen. And so we kept praying and praying and praying, and then finally the Lord answered our prayer and gave us the daughter, which is Desiree, and so we just absolutely love her. Another title that I have is called Abba, which is kind of weird, but that was a title that my grandson gave me. As soon as he could start talking, for some reason, he just started calling me Abba, and so that's been the name for me, you know, as far as the grandpa, papa, whatever you want to call a granddad, but he calls me Abba, and so I have two grandchildren, which is Trey. He's 3. And then my granddaughter, Daisy Love, who is 1. And they're awesome. Are there any grandparents out there? Any grandparents? Do you guys just love being grandparents? Life changer, right? Life changer. You guys with me on that? Life changer. Man, when Trey came into our lives, it literally turned our life upside down. Those are my favorite titles other than Child of God. Some other titles I have, pastor, chaplain, church planter, realtor, loan officer, truck driver. I just have them all, you know, but don't you just love titles? Titles. I've had problems with titles my entire life. What do you call this guy? I remember when I first got called into ministry, and I got called into ministry in such a strange way. Once again, I wouldn't recommend the way I got called into it, but went into it and went after it, got involved with a youth group, and took over the youth group kind of by default. And the youth group was about two when I started. It's actually kind of a funny story. I was really excited about it, and I prepared this message, and I was like just going in there and just going gung-ho, not sure how many youth were going to show up, and there was two. I was like, all right. So I just preached my heart out, just gave this amazing message. So I thought the next week those two didn't show up, but one other came. I was like, okay, I'm going to preach this one. And so I preached that one. Next week she didn't come, but three others came. And so I kept doing that. But anyways, the youth group eventually grew to about a regular 60 to 70 youth kids. And it was just amazing. But what happened from that was, what do we call Jay? You know, like, my wife and I were doing this ministry, and I had to have a title, I guess. And so they actually had to have a special board meeting to come up with a title for me. And it just cracks me up. Anyways. Recently, we planted a church about 8 years ago, actually 8 years on November 6th is its birthday over there in Running Springs, called Springs of Life Church, and poured our heart into that, and we gave it over, passed the baton about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, at the end of June. And the funniest thing was, after that, people would come up to me and they're like, what do we call you now? Because now you're no longer like the pastor at Springs of Life Church. And I'm like, well, I do have a name, and that name is Jay. I still believe I am a pastor, because I don't think God will let me off the hook for that. So you call me Jay or pastor or whatever. So I just really absolutely love titles, you know, so don't really get me going on that. But I really am honored to be here today. I met your pastor, Pastor Daniel, through business. And as I mentioned, I'm a loan officer, and so I had the privilege of doing the loan for him at that house that you guys are all going to go over to and hang out for the barbecue, right? But after the loan was done, we actually met for lunch just to talk outside of business. And I sure am glad that we did, because you really do. You have a great pastor, and I could tell you that he really loves you guys, and that he really loves the Lord, and he really loves this community. And I think that just by him inviting you over to his house, that right there alone shows you how much that he loves you. And so the crazy thing is that I really know that he listens to God. So a couple weeks ago, as I mentioned, we're coming up on the birthday for Springs of Life Church, right? It was November 6th. And so we'd actually be celebrating that today. Today would be the celebration. And I don't know if you've ever had to celebrate one of your kids' birthdays without them being around. You guys ever had to do that? That's kind of like what it feels like for me today. You know, it's like I feel like that I have this kid that is celebrating a birthday and I don't get to be there. And so I was just kind of complaining to the Lord about that, you know, like, Lord, what should I do with this? You know, like, how do I handle that? And then it was kind of right after that when Pastor Daniel sent me a text like, hey, do you want to come over and give the message to my church, you know, on this day? And I was like, you know, I'm going to have to pray about it, and I'll hit you back up in the morning. And so the next morning I was walking, and as I'm walking, the Lord's telling me like, hey, remember how you were kind of complaining to me and kind of like, you know, telling me like, hey, what are you supposed to do? Well, here you go. So anyways, I know that Pastor Daniel listens to the Lord. Let me see here. So it was funny, because I told him like, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Put me down. And then I said, do you have anything that you want me to preach on? And he's like, well, we are going through the book of Revelations. Like, really? That's cool. And he's like, yeah, we're on chapter 15. And he's like, but you don't have to preach all that if you don't want to. I'm like, all right, well, you guys know two things when you're talking business that you never bring up. You guys know what those two things are? What are they? Politics and religion, right? All right, good. So you guys have that part down. Well, you want to get yourself in a good debate with pretty much any Christian? Start talking about eschatology, right? The study of end times. You will get in a debate because hardly anybody ever agrees on that, right? And so you're going through the book of Revelation, and I'm thinking, wow, this is really going to stir some stuff up. But I'm here, and we're going to do the book of Revelation. So I'm excited about it. So as we get into today's message, I'm not one that's really necessarily going to dissect the scripture. Okay, so I'm a pastor. I can teach, but I don't really like to get into the teaching aspect. I will give you a little bit of a teaching, but I'm more of an encourager. I'm more of like a Barnabas. So you guys know Barnabas from the Bible? Barnabas, that's me. I'm more of like a Barnabas. Like, so I like to come and I like to encourage. So when I'm meeting with somebody, if I'm talking with somebody, and if they walk away and they feel discouraged, then that means that either number one, I wasn't being led by the Lord, or number two, they weren't listening to the Lord, because I'm just an encourager. I'm a Barnabas. So you guys want to get Barnabas today? You guys want to get encouraged today? Yeah? Can I get some excitement out of you guys? Yeah? All right. There we go. All right. That's the other thing, is I really like excitement. So if you guys, you know, if anybody in here falls asleep, that's what we kind of said in the beginning, was that was when I'd know when I need to cut out, you know, was that Steve was going to be like, I think it was three people, right? Three people fall asleep. All right. So three people fall asleep, then I'm done. A couple weeks ago, I was in this coaching session, and at the end, the coach told me that he sees me as a connector, which was kind of cool. So he sees me as a connector, like one that just kind of connects people. So he was saying, like, even when you're in a room, that all of a sudden that people will just start feeling connected, like they'll start feeling this connection. And it's interesting that he said that, because he didn't really know much about me. But the thing is that I have a familiar spirit. So when I go up to people, or when I'm talking to people, oftentimes they'll be like, do I know you? And they'll be like, I swear I know you. And they'll be like, where were you raised? Where did you grow up? What school did you go to? And they'll just start drilling me with a bunch of questions, because they absolutely believe that they know me. And it's because I have this familiar spirit. And so when that happens, then I know, I've learned that I know now God is putting me into ministry mode. When somebody says, hey, do I know you? I'm like, oh, man, here we go, right? One day my family and I were hanging out in IKEA. Have you guys ever been to IKEA? Man, that place is fun, isn't it? I'm so glad they have like that restaurant there so that you could go and eat while all the shopping is going on, because you do need to take a break while you're in there. But anyways, one day we were in there and we were eating lunch, and we finished lunch, and I take the tray over to, you know, get rid of all the stuff, and I start to turn around. This guy's like, hey, across the room, and I'm like kind of looking, hey, and he's just kind of waving at me, you know, and I'm like, hey, he's like, come here. I'm like, oh, this is weird. And I'm like literally trying to hang out with my family today. You know, I'm like, I need to be with my family today. I don't want to get called away. And I'm like, all right, well, this will be quick. I go over there and he's like, hey, don't I know you? And I'm like, oh, no. And he's like, we served together, right? We served together in the army. And I'm like, no, man. And he's like, no, I swear I know you. And I'm like, oh. So anyway, so we have this joke in our family that when somebody says that to me, that they know that it's going to become this lengthy conversation. So that's a little bit about me. Now let's get into the book of Revelation, shall we? You guys ready for it? All right, Revelation 15. Open her up. I found out that you guys read out of the English Standard Version. I'm going to be reading to you guys out of the New King James Version. So I apologize if the scripture isn't exactly the same. Revelation 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you. For your judgments have been manifested. We're on verse 5. After these things, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Pretty crazy, huh? What an image. You guys get the image out of that? When you just start looking at this and start just really just seeing what is about to happen. Well, I'm calling this message today the ending of the beginning. So you know how you always hear the phrase, this is the beginning of the end? Well, I wanted to call this a little bit different and call it the ending of the beginning. The other day, I was walking and praying and meditating on the scripture, and I felt the Lord tell me that this is the ending of the beginning. So I need you guys to say that with me. The ending of the beginning. One more time. The ending of the beginning. New Year, it's always a great time, isn't it? It's a time for new goals, and it's kind of weird to think that we're actually starting to adventure into coming to the close of what year are we in? 2019. Getting ready for 2020. I mean, I just love to think about like what God is going to be doing in 2020. I mean, just thinking about that, and as you're just praying for your new year and just imagining what God is going to do for you in your life for 2020, it's going to be amazing. I could tell you guys this. I'm going to just tell you right now that 2020 is going to be an awesome year for us all. I'm really excited about that year. But at the end of the year, when it's finally at hand, December 31st, like what December 31st is the ending of the beginning of that year. So this year, December 31st will be the ending of 2019. So whatever began January 1st of 2019, you're coming to the end of that on December 31st of 2019. So it's the ending of the beginning. So now there's a completion. So as we pick up here, we're in the 7-year tribulation, right? And it's ending when the bowls are being finished, being poured out. So right now you're at the ending of what started at the beginning. You're coming up to this end here as soon as these bowls are being poured out. I remember a time in my life, and I'm going to get a little open with you guys right now. I remember a time in my life when I had the ending of a beginning. And it was back in 1997. You guys remember what you were doing in the year of 1997? I could tell you almost exactly what I was doing back in 1997 because I was in a really rough place. Anybody in here ever been in a rough place before? Yeah? Good. So you guys with me on that. I had tried starting a business, and Mike, don't take this. Don't even, you know, just close your ears, man. Just don't even listen to this part right now. I tried starting this business, and this business was failing. And I was also trying to learn how to be a son to a dad who had abandoned me when I was 4. And so I'm kind of like in my early young adult stage, right, at this point. And I knew what it was like to go without money and without food. And it really seriously looked like we were heading in this direction again. And there's nothing worse than seeing your wife go hungry for days while you're both trying to do everything that you can do to make ends meet. And now my son, who was 6, I was going to have to watch him be a part of this as well, you know, and watch him have to go through the struggle with us. And so the other thing is that the only thing that I knew that was stable in my life, my whole life, was now totally unstable. So has anything ever been like ripped out from underneath you guys, you know, where you just feel like that, like you're just hoping that you'll just land one of these times? Well, I can tell you that I was not in a good place. So I remember my wife, Andrea and I, and we had gone to Mesquite, Nevada. This was a place where we had originally escaped to when we started out our lives. And now we were back there again, trying to start over and make it happen again. And I had gone out there, put out a bunch of applications and getting no calls. Nothing was happening. And so really, once again, I was coming to the ending of a beginning, but I just didn't realize it at this time. I remember it so clear. I was sitting by this pool in this hotel. And as I'm sitting there, I was thinking about life. And I was thinking about how life was just not good. And I thought to myself about how much easier life would be without me being in this life. You know, I just started really contemplating a lot of things that are not good. And at that time, I have to tell you this, that I didn't like God. I didn't like people of God. I thought that the people of God were a bunch of hypocrites because I kind of had this incident earlier in my life with somebody who was a godly man. And so I thought that the people of God were hypocrites, and so you couldn't really reach me if you're a godly person. And if you mentioned God, I just, you know, would just basically blow you off. But anyways, so here's where the ending of the beginning came. God was about to change my life, and he was about to end all things that I had thought about, all the ways that I was living, he was about to change. And so as I'm sitting there basically contemplating suicide, I feel like this overwhelming peace. And I can tell you guys, like, I still feel it. This overwhelming peace that just started from my feet. So I'm sitting there, and I'm just kind of like, you know, the pool's right here, and I'm just kind of looking up, you know, just not looking at anything really. And all of a sudden, I just feel this zap. And it started from my feet, and it went all the way up, went through my arms, went through every single part of my body, all the way up to my head. And it was just this overwhelming peace. I was like, wow, what was that? And then all of a sudden, I heard this voice, like in my head, that said, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And I had never heard anything like this before, never felt anything like this before, but I knew it was going to be okay. So much so that when I came back in contact with Andrea, I told her, Betel, it's time for us to go back to California. Everything's going to be okay. And I must have said it with such confidence that she didn't even question it. And so we just hopped in the truck, went back to California, and I'd like to tell you that from that point that everything was going to be okay. But you guys know how it goes. It took about 7 months before Andrew and I before we received Christ as our Lord and Savior. We did go through some tough financial situations. We were broke again, but we didn't have to live on the streets again. We were able to keep our house, and we ate every day. Even after we became Christians, you know, like, oh, there's that fairy tale that once you become a Christian, that everything is just smooth and easy and totally peaceful. Man, totally false, right? But once we became Christians, it seemed like that life got even harder. But even through that hardness of life, like, we just had this peace. We had this peace that God gave us that, like, everything was going to be okay. And I wish I had time to tell you everything that happened from that moment on, but I don't. Looking at the scripture, when you see in chapter 15 of verse 1, it says, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. So John is saying, okay, now I'm seeing this sign. I'm seeing this other sign. And so when you look at this, and when you look at how, like, one of the ways that it's described in Greek is this. It says that this is when there's a sign to mark the divine power. So divine power is made known through a supernatural event or act, a wonder or a miracle by which the power and presence of God is manifested either directly or through the agency of those whom he sends. So a sign, it's made known by something that happens that's supernatural, supernatural event or supernatural act. When I felt that peace, when I heard that voice, to me, this was a supernatural event. This was a supernatural act. How many of us are still looking for signs? I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to that, you know, because I have a lot of experiences. And so I will share a lot of those experiences of what God has done with me and through me. And so as I'm sharing these experiences, they always come up to me like, if I could have an experience like you, then I would believe that the way that you would believe. And that's not the case, because each one of us, we have different lives, right? Each one of us, we have different callings. Each one of us, God will send us out to different places and do different things. But there's so many of us that are still looking for signs before we'll even believe. We're looking for signs before we even step out in faith. We're looking for signs before we'll do anything for God. Well, Nicodemus, one of those guys, says in John 3:2, it says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. So the question is, are we doing any signs that would cause someone to say this to us? Like, in other words, are you stepping out in the face so much to where somebody would say, you can only do that because God is with you? You wouldn't be able to do any of that unless God is with you. See, those are the signs. When I'm looking at signs, when I'm reading about signs, when I'm thinking about signs, I think that God will do so much with us that will cause people to ask that question, like, man, what is different about you? What is changed about you? Like, you can't do these things unless there is a higher power, unless there is a God, and that gives you the open door. That gives you the opportunity to speak. What about in the book of Acts, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, Peter rises up to explain what had just happened, and he quotes from this book of Joel, and he says, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Is God still doing signs and wonders? Is God still doing signs and wonders? Think about Moses and how he used signs to try to reach Pharaoh, right? Sign after sign. God was saying, okay, I'm going to send you out there and I'm going to have you do these signs. It says in Exodus 4, it says, then it will be if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. Like, how many signs will it take for us? Like, how many signs will it take for you? You know, like God gives you these signs. God gives you these things as we're reading here, and we're coming up on one of these last signs, right? Because John is saying that there's another sign. Like, how many signs does it take to really believe? How many signs does it take to really step out in faith? How many signs do we need? When I was texting back and forth with your pastor about this book, here's what he told me. He says, the big overarching theme that we have been on is that the book of Revelation really isn't about a timeline of the end times or some mysterious puzzle to figure out, but we're stuck to the idea that comes from the first chapter of Revelation, that the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. I love that, right? That this book is a book revealing Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this. Has Jesus Christ revealed himself to you? And in what way has he revealed himself to you? When you talk to Jesus Christ, how is he revealing himself to you? Like, if you guys are going through this book of Revelation and it's supposed to be about the revelation of Jesus Christ, what has he revealed to you? Like, what has he opened up to you? Like, as he's opening up all these things to John, what is he opening up to you? And are you allowing him to open up signs? Are you allowing him to open up wonders? Are you allowing him to open up the revelation of himself to you in such a deeper way that it just isn't like where you just come to church on Sunday and you just go home. But every single day is just a day of something being revealed to you about Jesus Christ. Like, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Now, verse 2, it says, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. Man, I love to see that. That he begins to kind of describe a little bit about what he's seeing, like the sea of glass. Like, I love to see like, I'm an ocean person. I love to see the ocean. But the ocean has a lot of waves, right? It has a lot of action going on out there. And you just get to sit there and listen. Like, I love the sound of it. But there's some parts where you go to, like, if you go to a lake. Like, I remember Andrew and I, we were adventuring around. I can't remember what lake that we landed on. But it was this lake, and it was so crystal clear. Like, you could just look out there, and you could see the reflections of everything. You could see the reflections of the sun. You could see the reflection of the trees. You could see the reflection, like there was this sea of glass. And so I think about that. I think about this sea of glass mingled with fire. And it says, and those who have the victory over the beast, those who have the victory over his image, those who have the victory over his mark. I remember, guys, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I was reading through Revelation the first time and I came across the part about, like, if you take the mark of the beast, and I have to tell you, I was a really illiterate Christian. Like, I knew nothing about Christianity. Like, the songs that would be sung, I wouldn't know any of those songs. You know, Sunday school, I didn't know nothing. I knew nothing. Like, I was just like this total babe in Christ. And everything from this Bible right here, I took word for word. This is what taught me, right? This is what raised me, and this is what just still continues to drive me. But as I was reading through this, and as I saw the mark of the beast, I was like, oh, man, I'm doomed. I'm doomed. I have the mark of the beast on me. And I remember calling up my pastor, and I'm like, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And he's like, okay. You know, and at this point, guys, I'm leading the youth, right? Like, I'm in youth ministry, and I still hadn't finished reading through all the Bible, right? And so I go over there to him, and I'm like, Pastor, I'm going to have to quit doing this, you know? And he's like, well, why? And I said, well, I'm going to hell. And he's like, you're going to hell? And I was like, yeah, man, like, I'm going to hell. I was like, I have done the unforgivable. And he's like, what are you talking about, Jay? Like, if you were my pastor, like, I probably drove him nuts because I'd have all these things that would come up, right? And I'd be like, well, it says right here, if you take the mark of the beast, you know, it's unforgiven, you know, and I'm going to hell. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, I have a tattoo of a dragon on my arm, right? And he's like, oh. And he kind of starts to chuckle a little bit. And he's like, so you're talking about out of Leviticus where you don't have to take, you know, the tattoo. And I'm like, no, man, I'm not worried about tattoos. Like, I'm worried about this dragon, man. This is the mark of the beast. So anyways, I found out that I wasn't going to hell, and I was very thankful. But there are so many Christians who feel as though they're defeated, right? There's so many of us believers that feel like we've just been defeated. Like, we feel as though that he, that meaning the enemy, has power over us. That he, the enemy, has power over the things that are going on in our lives. That he, the enemy, has power over, we were kind of joking about the sound, right? That he has power over those things. But look at what it says here. That it says, those who have the victory over the beast. If you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm here to tell you that you're an overcomer, right? That you have victory over all these things. That you have victory because you have Jesus in you. It says in 1 John 4:4, it says, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is what? In the world. Jesus says in John 14:30, it says, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. So if he has nothing in Jesus, then that means that he has nothing in us because Jesus is inside of us and you can't mix dark and light. So that right there, as I'm reading this, what does that tell me? That tells me that I'm victorious. That tells me that I'm an overcomer. That tells me that I could be right here with these people worshiping because I'm overcome those things. Isn't that exciting to think about? Like, when I think about this and when I look at this image, and it's just saying, like, those that have done this. Now, this is important. You need to grab onto this. You need to realize that you are victorious. You need to realize that each thing that you come up against, that you are victorious. Okay, I'm going after this business. I'm victorious in Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going after this illness. I am victorious in Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going after this relationship that was broken. I'm victorious in Jesus Christ, right? You're victorious, and so you hold on to that. You hold on to that. And so as they're doing this, this is what's really cool, is they break out into this song, right? And it says in verse 3, it says, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. So they break out into the song of Moses. Do you guys know when the first song of Moses was sung? It was after they had crossed the sea. Remember how the Pharaoh and the Egyptians were after them and they were going to kill them? And they came to this point to where they, you know, the point of no return is what I like to say. All of a sudden, this miraculous thing happens, right? Opens up. They're able to cross through the sea. And I can't even imagine what was going on in their minds as they're crossing. Like, what would you like to be? Would you like to be the first one in that line? Or would you like to be in the middle? You know, I would hate to be in the middle. I'll just tell you, like, I'm kind of claustrophobic. And so if I'm getting in the middle, I'd be like, okay, breathe, Jay, breathe. Okay, breathe, right? It's so funny. I don't even know why I just thought of this, but my grandson has this penguin dance, and so he goes like this, you know? Anyways, that'd be me right there. I'd be doing the penguin dance, thinking of my grandson, you know? Okay, I'm almost through, right? You're in there with millions of people crossing through the sea, knowing that all these people are trying to kill you, right? And you're like, come on, speed it up, right? Anyways, they make it through this. They make it through this. It's the ending of the beginning, right? What was the beginning? The beginning was bondage. The beginning was slavery. The beginning was all these things, the shame, all these things that just wanted to take them down and keep them in that spot. And now all of a sudden they're coming to the ending of what was beginning. You guys get me on this? Like, there's things in our lives that we're up against, and we started out this way, and it just continues over and over and over again. And so what I'm trying to say is that you're coming to the ending of that. Like, God doesn't want you to live that anymore. He wants you to have this ending of what was the beginning so that he could start something new for you. And when I read this, this is what I'm seeing, is that this is the ending of the beginning, because what happens after this? Well, you guys are going to have to wait as Pastor Daniel continues to teach you guys, but it's great and it's marvelous. And that's what God is trying to do for us. And so when they get past this, and they get to the end and they turn around and they're just looking at all these people that were doing all these things to them. They're just looking at the enemy, and they're looking at the enemy getting swallowed up. And what happens is they just break out into the song. they just break out in a song. And so when I think of the Song of Moses, I think of those songs that just really grab you. You know, like there's, like we visited some churches, and when you go into these churches, there's certain songs that they have that just, you know, as soon as that song starts going, you just know that that's a church for the song. Like everybody in the church knows the song, and they're just raising their hands and they're just praising God, you know, and there's those songs, you know, like there's those hymns like Exalt Thee, you know, like, man, you could sing that any way you want, and I'm just going to break out into worship. That's just my Song of Moses, or How Great Thou Art. You know, you break out in that song and I'm just going to break out with you, even though I have a terrible voice, right? But that's like the Song of Moses for me. So they just pour out their heart and they just say, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Who shall not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for you alone are holy, for you alone are holy. This is the vision that John sees. Just a bunch of victorious Christians singing out and worshiping the Lord. I wonder if we do that today. Like if John was to write about you, if John was to write about Woodlands, would he be writing that? Like, you should just see that church. You could just tell that they just love God, because when we're leading worship, like they're just singing and they're just worshiping and they're just pouring out their heart. Like when you see this person that they're at home and they just turn on their worship music and they're just walking around just praising God, like you could tell that those people are victorious. I wonder if John was to write that about you and I. Like, you could just tell that they're victorious. Well, I'm going to skip down to this last part because Pastor Daniel, you know, he told me that I had to keep my message under 2 hours. And so I'm here to keep it under 2 hours. For real. Whenever you invite a pastor to speak, if you want them to speak for only 40 minutes, you tell them, you speak for 25 minutes. And then they should be done in that 40 minutes, right? I had to learn that. I remember one guy we had visit. This is at a previous church. And, oh, my gosh, nobody told him how long to speak. And he was up there for like 2.5 hours. And I was like, whoa, dude, you are going a long ways. Bring it down. Land that plane, right? All right, so the bowls are getting ready to get poured out. So we're coming to the beginning, the ending of the beginning of this tribulation, right? But before this happens, before these bowls are being poured out, John wants to write this in there. And this is the part that I love. See, look, I set my clock just so I know. Read this with me in verse 8. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were completed. Seriously, guys, when I was reading that, I just got stuck on that. Because what does this passage remind you of? For me, it reminds me of when Solomon, when he brought in the ark, right? Builds this great big temple. And now he wants to make sure that everything is right. And so he brings in the ark to set it in its place. And as he's bringing in the ark, we read this. It says, when the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Okay, get this, guys. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. The glory of the Lord filled the house of God. What is this saying here? Saying that the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple. Do you guys realize that today that you're the temple? Like you're walking around with God in you. You're walking around with God in you. And if you have a bunch of junk going on inside, let me tell you this, and I do this, so I'm saying all of us, that we're allowing things other than the Lord to get in there, right? We're allowing things other than the Lord to get in there. And if we were to come into a full worship time, there wouldn't be any room for anything else. There wouldn't be any room for anything else. God's power and God's justice is about ready to be released, but it's like there's this pause, kind of like the pause that you guys studied previously, you know, where there was that silence for half an hour. Can you imagine that, guys? Like, I mean, can you really, I mean, okay, so we get up and our life just, right? Are you guys with me? It's like just crazy, right? So it's like you wake up, your eyes are like, boom, and then you're just going. So for some reason, my wife and I, we've just been waking up really early in the morning. And so we'll sit there for a while and we'll just both try to be quiet so that neither one of us wakes each other up, even though we're both awake. So then sometimes we'll just start talking once we realize. And then sometimes I'll just like to kick on the news, you know, like the 4:30 o'clock news or something like that, and just start watching news. And so the other morning I asked Andrea, I'm like, hey, you want me to kick on the news? She's like, no, I'm just enjoying the silence. I'm like, oh, good point, right? So can you imagine having silence for half an hour in your life today? Can you imagine silencing everything that is going on in your life? So I'm going to ask Steve to come back up here if you would. And I just want you guys just to spend a moment just kind of in silence here. And close your eyes if you want and just kind of meditate on some of these things and just think about this. I want you guys to think about how this temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and that no one was able to enter. And I just want you guys to think about that with your mind and your heart right now. Like what things are going on in your mind and your heart right now? Just take a moment just to give that to the Lord. You know, like let it go up like with the smoke, like how you're seeing that there's smoke just filled this temple. You know, so just allow these things to just be pushed up and pushed out. You know, like if it has to do with your family, just allow it to get pushed up and pushed out. If it has to do with some sort of health, something that's going on there, just have it be pushed up and pushed out. Maybe it's having to do with finances. Just have that just be pushed up and pushed out. You know, like just take a moment right now just to be caught up in his presence. All these things that are just going on in your life right now, let's just give that to God right now. Let's just give that to him. Just, Lord, just take this from us right now. God, we just ask, Lord, that you would just take these things, whatever is going on in our heart and mind right now, God, that you would just push this up and push this out, because, Lord, we know that you are living inside of us. We know that that temple is inside of us, God, and we just want this temple right now just to be filled with your glory so that nothing else can enter in, God. And so whatever thoughts, just give those to God right now. Whatever you're thinking that is outside of God right now, just give that to him. God, we just give this to you. Father, we just give this to you. In the name of Jesus, we just give this to you right now. God, we just want to be filled with your glory right now. We just want these things just to be pushed out right now, God. We just want this moment of silence. And I want you guys to think about this. I want you guys to think about, like, whatever sea that you cross, whatever sea that he got you across, that is just a miracle. Like, if you're with Jesus today, it's a miracle. That's a miracle. That's a miracle in itself. Like, if you think about everything that the Israelites had to go through to get to this point, like, they had to go through the signs and the wonders from Moses just and Aaron just taking those before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh just shutting them down time and time again. And so maybe you've just been shut down time and time again. And you just see these signs and these wonders that God is doing in your life, but people around you are just shutting those things down. And so God is still moving, though. God is still moving in your life. And maybe you've already gotten to the point of the victorious. You know, like, yeah, victory. I made it across. Or maybe you're kind of like right in the middle right now and you're just crossing. You're still in that crossing point and you're just surrounded by all these things. Like, you're in that middle and you're feeling a little claustrophobic. And God's just telling you right now, it's okay. I'm going to get you across. I'm going to get you across. And in the end, you're going to be victorious. I promise you that. Or maybe you're just right at that front part where he just has opened up that sea and you're just beginning to cross. He's going to see you all the way through. And I think about, like, how, you know, at the end there, before they even got to this point, how they had to put that blood around the doorpost so that they would get passed over, right? So that death wouldn't get them. So that the enemy wouldn't take them out. And that's like the blood of Jesus. And how Jesus has covered you. That's victory, guys. And so I want you to take a moment just to think about that victory. Because when you think about that victory, it causes you to only praise Him and to worship Him. Like, if you have nothing to worship about, then worship about the fact that you are saved. So just take a moment and just thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are victorious in you, God. We're victorious in you, God. Father God, I just pray in the Son, in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, asking boldly that you just cast out anything that is hindering my brothers and sisters from walking fully with you. God, we just pray in Jesus' name, just asking that you would just cast out if there's any evil thoughts or any evil doubts or anything, God, that's going on, that you just take that from us. We just give it to you. The enemy is trying to rise up in any area of our life, God, we just pray in Jesus' name that you just push him away and push him down, that you just cast him out. And God, we just think about as we're reading about as church is just going through the book of Revelation and how scary it could be at times, just thinking about our loved ones, our friends, our family that may not know you, Jesus. And as we read about all these things, God, as we're reading about these plagues that are just getting ready to get poured out, God, Father, we just boldly ask that you just save our friends, that you'd save our loved ones. So I just want you, church family, I just want you guys just to think of a couple people that come to mind right now that don't know Jesus, that come to mind, and you just give those to Jesus right now. You just give them. You just say their name. You could say it out loud or you could say it quietly, but you just say their name. And you just trust that God is hearing that. As you're saying that, God is hearing that. He is hearing that, guys. I remember when Andrew and I were first saved, none of our family was walking with Jesus. Well, some of them were, but the majority of them weren't. And every Sunday after church, there'd be a guest speaker or something. We'd just go up and we'd be like, hey, can we get prayer? Yeah, what can we pray for you? And we just ask them, pray for our family, right? And we just give them specific names. Just pray for them. So I just want you just to pray for them, because I could tell you guys that our family, the majority of our family, is saved now. It's turned around. And God, I just boldly ask that you just fill my brothers and sisters full of you, Jesus, that they would just walk in your Spirit. That as they just walk in you, God, that you would just fill them with your gifts. Whatever those gifts are, God, that you just reveal them. We all want the revelation of you, Jesus Christ. So reveal yourself in us. Allow us to do things that would cause people to wonder what's different about us. Allow that conversation to be open. So we just thank you, God. And I just want to pray a special blessing over Woodlands Church, God, over Pastor Daniel, Father, over Pastor Mike, and all those that are serving, God. I just pray that you just bless them immensely, that you just continue to use this church to reach this community. God, that you continue to reach Lake Gregory, that you continue to reach Crestline, that you continue to reach across this mountain, Father, and that you just use each one of them mightily. And we just thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen, guys. Amen. Amen.